after the introduction of each symbol and the reading of the scripture about that symbol and the hanging of that symbol on the tree, we're going to sing or say a responsive. If it has the, if you kind of see on where we do the Epiphany star, it has, we're going to sing Star of Wonder after that. If it says people and then something, that's a, we're going to say that rather than sing it. Is that clear enough? You think you can handle this? So, the first set of symbols we're going to talk about today are the nativity symbols. And while there are many more than the three we're going to discuss, I think these three are very significant. The first of the nativity symbols, and these are symbols that come around the birth of Jesus Christ, that's what nativity is talking about, is the Epiphany star. Now, if you have anything with you that looks like a star, a lot of times they'll put other things on the star, like a cross or some other symbol, in order to emphasize that this star is leading and pointing to Christ. And the scripture that goes with the Epiphany star is about the wise men coming and the star pointing them to Christ. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, and I'm going to be bleeding some verses together, reading verses 1 and 2 and 9 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, then opened their treasures and presented him with gold, gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. If you have an Epiphany star, would you come and hang it on the tree at this time? And let us sing our chorus. It's a little less common, at least in the spheres that I have been in, and that is the Christmas rose. The Christmas rose actually comes from the scripture in Isaiah, which talks about the deserts blooming. And although the rose, I really don't think, is a very Middle Eastern flower, it's a very beautiful flower, and a lot of people looking at the beauty of a rose and thinking about the deserts blooming and God bringing beauty to that, thought of a rose as the most beautiful thing that could have bloomed in the desert. And so the rose began to symbolize Christmas in the sense of God's love blooming in our barren hearts and to represent Christ and Mary. The scripture is this, Isaiah 35, 1 through 2. And there's actually an Advent song based on this, but since we didn't know it, I wasn't going to make y'all sing it. The desert, the parched land, will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and bloom like the crocus. Two will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and of Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord of splendor. So if you have a Christmas rose, would you come and hang it on the tree at this time? And while they're hanging it on the tree, if you would join me in our responsive about the Christmas rose. With heart and soul we rejoice, for the Christmas rose reminds us of God's love blooming in our soul. The next Christmas symbol is the angel. And probably the angel is one that you all are very familiar with. Because you think, of course, of the angels coming to the shepherds, of the angel coming to Mary and announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read for you from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, where the angels come to the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Then appearing with the angel was a great multitude of heavenly hosts. You know, some of the little creatures we have that we're calling angels look a little bit more like cherubims, singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. If you have an angel, would you bring it forward and hang it on the tree at this time? And let us sing our response. His body and his blood on the cross, and that Last Supper that the disciples shared with him. The scripture comes from Matthew 26, verses 26 and 28. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." If you have a chalice, would you come hang it on the tree at this point? Yeah. And while they do that, if we would sing...